On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Here's a roadmap on where we plan to go. Mask mandate litigation resurfaces with the highly contagious Delta variant and state lawmakers concerned about overreach. The Justice Department sues to remove Fred Prehn from the Natural Resources Board. But we start with the battle underway over the once-a-decade realignment of legislative and congressional districts, taking a look at redistricting legal fights on the horizon. What do you want to know about court challenges to the map-drawing process and what it means for elections? It's 800-642-1234. J.R. Ross is editor at Wispolitics. J.R., welcome back to the Ideas Network.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Before we start unpacking redistricting litigation flying all around, kind of ground us, if you will, in where we are in the timeline for redrawing maps and the stages we go through now that the new census data is in.
Well, we are way behind where we normally would be. Usually in census data year, you get the data in the spring. You've got maps, at least try to draw them by the summer. And we're probably in court by now in a normal year. We're not normal because of COVID-19, obviously, and some other things have pushed it back. So where we're at is that the data was released. The process can begin to draw maps at the state level and the local level. We're already seeing county boards and city councils, you know, start putting maps together because they have elections coming up in the spring. They're a little more tighter crunch than the state is. Right now, Governor Evers has had his People's Maps Commission going on for a while now. They're taking submissions of proposed maps. The state legislature now has now opened a portal that you can also submit a map to them. That's interesting with that portal for the legislature is that the deadline for a map from the public is October 15th, I believe. Mm-hmm. That gives people an idea that more than likely you're going to see legislature try and pass a map sometime in the fall floor period. And the question becomes, which court do we end up in to draw the actual map before it's all said and done?
Yeah, and, you know, we usually hold predictions till the end, but do you have any thoughts about the volume or substance that you foresee in these court challenges going through this process?
Well, we've already got the one filed in federal court by half dozen Democratic voters. That's interesting because that suit basically says, look, there is no chance that the Republican-controlled legislature and Democratic Governor Tony Evers will reach consensus on a map. So court, you should set a deadline for them to act now and lay out a process that you will draw the map if they fail. Republicans, though, have answered back to the lawsuit saying, number one, this is premature. You should give the legislature and the governor a chance at least first. And their second argument is, even if the legislature and the governor fail to draw a map, this should go to state court. Now, why that is interesting is that the perception is Republicans want to go the state court route, not the federal court route. Mm-hmm. Remember, the state Supreme Court is controlled by conservatives 4-3, although, you know, Brian Hagedorn has been kind of a swing jurist on a number of important issues, but still perceived as a conservative. So a 4-3 majority, Republicans feel like they would get a better shot, a better shake, better map out of the state courts than the federal courts, because even though it's a different panel that's been created for this Democratic lawsuit, the federal court out of the Western District has already basically said, hey, the map you guys drew a decade ago was a political gerrymander. So they feel like they would get a less receptive audience for an argument that'll probably go along the lines of, hey, this map was drawn 10 years ago. We should stay close to that map because it was actually drawn by lawmakers in the normal process rather than scrapping that and starting over.
Yeah. So who hears these cases matters almost as much as the substance of the cases.
Yeah. And don't forget, even if the state Supreme Court draws the map, there'll more than likely be a lawsuit in federal court to review it. The key, though, is it's a different process if you draw the map and if you review the map. So let's say, in theory, Republicans, and our guess is that there'll be a Republican-filed lawsuit in state court at some point. Let's say that lawsuit is filed, the state Supreme Court draws the map. The federal court would still review it, but review it for things like, does it comply with the Federal Voting Rights Act? Does it comply with representation for minorities? All these kinds of things. But it's not drawing the lines themselves. And remember, 10 years ago, that map that was drawn by lawmakers was challenged. There was a federal court that redrew a line for an assembly district to help with Hispanic representation, but that was it. They didn't scrap the entire thing. So So that's what's very important about this process, is who draws the lines in the first place.
We're talking with J.R. Ross of WisPolitics about the redistricting process, the related litigation, where things stand now. Have you been following the redistricting debate between Republicans and Democrats in Wisconsin? What model should Wisconsin try to emulate? Join in 800-642-1234. J.R., who foots the bill for all this litigation?
Taxpayers. So Republicans have retained attorneys that actually they signed contracts before a lawsuit was even filed in anticipation of a lawsuit. So the one contract that I saw is a cap of $965,000, I believe, in 2021. Now, don't forget, we're already in August. The lawsuits are just being filed. We may go into 2022 before it's all said and done. This contract was silent about what would cost beyond that. There's a second contract that did not have a cap on fees, but did cap, like, you know, hourly rates and those kinds of things. So the taxpayers will pay for those private attorneys Republicans have hired. As far as the state's attorneys, like the Department of Justice will be involved, they're all funded by taxpayers, those attorneys. So it's going to be us who pay for these lawsuits, which is typically what happens.
We have divided government. Democrat as governor, legislature controls, or Republicans control the legislature. Is that extremely problematic for this contentious issue of redrawing maps?
Going back to the 1960s, I believe, every decade but one, the courts have drawn the legislative boundaries. Now, in other years, congressional lines have also been challenged and drawn by courts. Sometimes they'll reach consensus, even when they haven't reached consensus on the legislative districts. But more than often than not, it's the courts that end up drawing the lines in Wisconsin because we have a history of split government.
Will the Governor's People's Maps Commission have a say in the final product here? What is the status of this commission?
So they've been taking submissions. They've been having hearings. The going bet in the Capitol is that once there's this, whoever ends up hearing the lawsuit, right, and the court asks, send us maps, that the People's Commission map will be a submission from the governor. Now, what's going to be interesting is, in theory, that People's Maps Commission is supposed to be about competitiveness, right? How equal can you make seats? If you're a Democrat on the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, do you want to submit your own map that is better for Democrats, right? Because this is a very partisan exercise of redistricting. The map that the Governor's Commission may draw may not be the maximum benefit for a Democrat that you could create with the population that we have. So might Democrats try and file something that's really, really partisan, which would make the People's Map Commission, People's Commission map look pretty moderate, right? Pretty reasonable. Republicans, likewise, do you want to file a map that looks as good as possible for you, much like the one we have in place right now, or do something that's more moderate, more competitive, to try to show the courts, hey, we're trying to be reasonable about this. We're not trying to, you know, play a game and maximize our numbers here. We want you to find this map to be acceptable. Those are choices they're going to have to make when they submit their maps to the courts.
What do you make of this portal system, this grassroots approach to say, hey, you know, hey, people, hey, public, send us your map?
Well, it's all part of an effort in the big picture to get people really engaged on this issue, because there is a segment of the population who cares very deeply about redistricting and the fact that Republicans drew a map that was very beneficial to them a decade ago. I don't know that this issue is one of those ones that really drives voters, but there's a very passionate group that care about it. As far as, though, like a big issue next fall, I don't know that Governor Evers is going to run his campaign next fall on redistricting, right? It's going to be taxes and schools and healthcare and those driving issues. But again, there's a very passionate group of people who care about this, and they're really tuned into it.
Well, we'll be watching that. J.R. Ross is with us, WisPolitics editor, has covered state government politics for decades. Moving on to the polarizing issue of mask wearing. Do you live in Dane County? How do you feel about the new mask mandate? Do you support the decision? Are county officials overstepping their authority? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap with J.R. Ross here on the Ideas Network. We have WisPolitics editor J.R. Ross on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. J.R. is taking us through one issue at a time. In a state COVID briefing earlier this month, Governor Evers was asked whether he'd issue another mask mandate.
Of course, the legislature and also the Supreme Court made some decisions. But at the end of the day, we will be following the science.
The state Supreme Court struck down the governor's statewide mask mandate at the end of March. How do you feel about the challenge to Dane County's indoor mask mandate? Join in 800-642-1234. J.R. Ross with us for about 10 more minutes. So, J.R., the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty sues Dane County over this mask mandate. What are you seeing out of this litigation?
Well, a couple of things interesting. One, that went into effect at 12:01 a.m. on Thursday. The lawsuit had asked the Supreme Court to issue an emergency injunction to prevent it from going into effect, period. The court instead gave local officials until noon tomorrow to file their response. So the mask mandate remains in place for right now. Basically, the lawsuit is arguing that, look, court, you've already reined in local officials in this other lawsuit about closing schools. You should do the same here. What I find interesting, the big picture, is that a year ago, there was all this talk about from some of the Republican base about wanting to challenge Governor Evers on the statewide mask mandate. But Republicans shied away from that because they feared that it would come back to bite them in the elections in November, that they would appear anti-mask. The ground has shifted in Republicans' minds that the public is now tired of stuff. I mean, the line I heard last week was, we are tired of COVID and we're done with it, but COVID's not done with us, right? So there's still this pandemic going on, but people don't really care for the restrictions anymore. So Republicans feel like they are in a better position right now to challenge things, to push things like, you know, legislation banning vaccine passports, to talk about things like that, because they feel like that they have a base that's very engaged and excited about this issue, and that people on the other side are kind of worn out by the entire thing.
Yeah. Is there a better chance of getting a mask order to hold if it's done through an ordinance or not a health order issued through a public health department or by a health commissioner?
Yeah, the lawsuit raises two arguments. One is that the local health official did not have the power in this case to do this, right? Basically, that the local official didn't have the power to do this, period. And two, the local official in this case didn't have the power on her own to do it. It should have been approved by the county board and the city council. So what I'm wondering is, if this is struck down, could you see local officials like the county board, the city council, pass a resolution approving a mask mandate and do it that way? Then what would happen?
Yeah, so it remains to be seen there. What about the Tavern League of Wisconsin, other organizations filing similar lawsuits last year? Do you see any of those echoes this year, or are we just too far along in the pandemic?
Well, other than Dane County, I guess there was discussion about a mask mandate in Kenosha. Mm-hmm. There was a city council meeting last week that was quite contentious, but we're not seeing like large or a lot of local governments trying to push mask mandates again. It's just not on the front burner like it was a year ago.
Yeah. Let's move on to Attorney General Josh Call filing a lawsuit to remove Fred Prehn from the Natural Resources Board. Explain what is going on here.
So typically in Wisconsin, if you are appointed to a board and your term expires and your replacement has not been confirmed, you have the ability to stay on that role. That's happened in the past. It's not unusual. But what's being argued here is that there are state laws that specifically say if you're on board X and your term expires, you can stay on. The law on the DNR board, according to the lawsuit, is silent on that issue. So Josh Call is arguing that Dr. Prehn has stayed on beyond his term. He should be removed. Either the court should remove him or issue a decision that says that Governor Evers has a power to remove him. Dr. Prehn, however, points to a memo from the Legislative Council, which is the nonpartisan legal arm of the legislature, from May, that says basically he has a power to stay on this board. So we're going to find out what's going on. What's unique here compared to past examples of people staying on is Dr. Prehn served his full 6-year term, got a confirmation hearing. He was confirmed by the state Senate, and he's on the board. In years past, like I saw this happen when Governor Doyle was elected in 2002, there were a number of appointments by Governors Thompson and McCallum that had not been confirmed. And Doyle rescinded a lot of them like in one swoop. The difference then was those appointments had not gotten a confirmation hearing. So some of the people said, hey, I'm going to stay in my role because the Senate has a confirmed replacement. It was controlled by Republicans at the time. They haven't confirmed my replacement. And I basically got the short end of the stick with my term because I didn't get to serve a full one, but because of the way this thing happened. This is a little bit different. Now, the big question going forward is, what's the end game? If the courts say that Prane can stay on this board, well, then what? Republicans feel pretty good about the 2020 election right now because they're seeing signs that things are blowing their way. But if Evers wins re-election next fall, then what? Are you going to have a bunch of Walker appointees serve for 6 and 8 years to try to keep these boards from becoming majority Evers appointments? And the key with the DNR board is Prane staying on keeps it 4-3 Walker appointees. If he left, then it becomes a majority Evers appointees. That's like my question is about the end game. What's next? If Evers wins, then what are we going to do? We're going to have the standoff go on indefinitely.
We're talking with J.R. Ross, editor at WisPolitics, as we look at litigation politics here on the State Capitol Report. With your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Kenneth in Janesville wants to circle back to redistricting. Kenneth, hi.
I've got a couple of questions. The first is, what does it take to do it in Wisconsin like they do in Iowa? And are the Republicans admitting that they cannot win an election without putting their thumb on the scale, so to speak?
And, Kenneth, when you say how they do it in Iowa, what specifically are you referring
to?
Yeah,
they have – it's an impartial election board or districting board that divides the state
Let's get JR. JR, go ahead.
Sure. So in Iowa, the process is this kind of nonpartisan agency draws a map and it goes to the legislature for an up or down vote. And then if they reject it, they draw another map. And then I think there's a third map as the final kick at the cap with that process. They have to approve it. And if they don't, they either have to do a bill or something like that. So it's a different process in that regard. Wisconsin could change state law and go to that or do a constitutional amendment to go to that. Republicans have zero interest in that. They see it as they don't trust anything that's quote unquote nonpartisan. They think we biased against them. And honestly, Democrats had control of the legislature and from 2009 to 11 and didn't pass that process. They had the opportunity and didn't do it. Some Dems now kick themselves in the butt for not doing it. But they felt like after the big wins in 08 with Obama on the ticket that they were going to be in a good shape to, you know, be in charge for a while. Then it changed. And as long as Republicans are in charge, they're not going to go to that system because they don't like it. And two, even though Wisconsin is a purple state at the top of the ticket, if you look at the way voters are concentrated, there are a lot of Democrats are in Dane and Milwaukee counties. It's hard to draw a true 50-50 map because of the population. So now you can draw a much more equal one in terms of partisan balance in the legislature that we have right now, but a true 50-50 map would be difficult at best because of where we're concentrated for voters.
Kenneth, thank you. Annalisa now in Green Bay on redistricting as well. Hi, Annalisa.
Yeah, good morning. I just wanted to say that I am one of the people who are passionate about gerrymandering because gerrymandering makes the party, makes the elected representative less accountable to the people. They just do what the party tells them to do. And as far as you're saying population redistribution, well, of course, certain kinds of voters are concentrated in certain places, but that doesn't foreclose the possibility that you can draw a map is more nonpartisan than the one that we're operating on now.
Quickly, Annalisa, how long have you been very concerned about gerrymandering, very concerned about the redistricting process?
I have been concerned about this for at least 5 years.
Okay. Thank you, Annalisa. JR, your thoughts there. You know, Annalisa being in the camp of this is a really huge issue for Wisconsin.
Redistricting and the maps that we have drive a lot of the partisanship you see in the Capitol because you only have to win your primary. So I have to worry about it. A lot of these seats, they are so safe that so long as you fend off any primary challenges, you're good to go. Well, that means rather than catering to 50.1% of your district, you're catering to basically 25% change, right? That's your primary. And the reality is, like, if you go in Madison, you can't draw a 50-50 map on the isthmus. It's not possible. There are just too many Democrats. Likewise, if you go out to like Washington County, Wisconsin, over in the southeastern part of the state, you can't draw a 50-50 Democratic seat. There just aren't enough Democrats there. So that's what I'm talking about, the concentration of voters. It makes it very difficult. There are ways to make the map less partisan, and we'll see how that process plays out. But to the point that it really does impact how the Capitol operates, or quite frankly now, it does not operate. It's kind of dysfunctional these days. And part of it is because of that basic issue of who's in the Capitol, who wins these races, and how they approach the job, because, again, they're trying to win primaries, not win general elections, because they're almost guaranteed to win come November.
JR, appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Have a great day.
You too. JR Ross, editor at WisPolitics. Coming up, the State Capitol Report continues with Democratic State Senator Lena Taylor of Milwaukee. We will discuss the state of policing in Wisconsin 1 year after a Kenosha officer shot Jacob Blake multiple times in the back, renewing national attention on police use of force. What emotions come up for you today about policing? 800-642-1234. News update is next on the Ideas Network.